Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we did not forget that yesterday was supposed to be Mortgage Monday. It's just that things happen and just had to put some stuff off. So we do have our mortgage expert with us today. So I'm going to put the number out there in case you have questions. It's 516-387-1944. And we welcome back to the show from Rajon Mortgage, Mr. Jabir Najir. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Gretchen. I am doing good, and thanks for having me again. I know it's been a while, but
I'm
excited about getting this new update and what rates, mortgages, the market, all that stuff out to the listeners here.
Well, glad to have you back. It's been kind of one of those topsy-turvy types of times. You know, this year I was thinking about it, it's like this year has kind of been, I guess, still a little unsettled in a lot of areas. But, you know, we're going to nail it down. And today we're going to nail down exactly what's going on with the mortgages. By the way, also just a reminder, not here in Florida. Florida, our election day is the 19th, in case anybody was wondering, because it is Super Tuesday today. We are not included in that. Get ready to vote on March 19th. And just want to also just tell everybody, because people are wondering why they didn't get ballots, some of you, if you are not in one of the main political parties, you will not get a ballot, because there's just the main political parties and there are no issues. That's going to come up in August and November. But anyway, let's get to it. So mortgage rates, where do they stand and why?
Oh, the current mortgage rates are actually down, but it's probably not as far down as many people would like to hear. Currently, for example, the FHA 30-year rate, the national average right now is 6.57. And for a conventional rate, the national average on a 30-year is 7.09. Now, these are coming down from some high points. For example, back in October, conventional was up to almost 8. It kind of scratched 8%. 7.94 was the national average. And when it came to FHA was right around, I think it was a low 7% back then. So the rates have come down quite a bit, and we're hoping that they'll come down further. Now, just to back up a little bit, we are able to get lower rates than this because it's, especially when we deal on the wholesale side, because typically we deal with lower rates than if you walk into your retail bank. So when I say national average, this is just including retail. When I say retail, if you walk into your Chase bank and also on the wholesale side. So those are the averages right now. We are able to get conventional rates down into the mid sixes and even FHA, depending on score, into the high fives, low sixes. So just something for you to kind of keep in mind when looking around. But we're definitely not down into the fives that everybody would like to hear for conventional. Now, one thing that we are looking at when it comes to where the rates will be going is when Powell, who is the federal chairman, he kind of gives a direction based on data that they receive to kind of help to direct which way they're going to go with the rates, whether they're going to hold steady or whether they're going to cut rates. In the last meeting in February, based on the inflation data that came out, they said that there's not enough information, enough data to have them give a better idea of when they will cut rates. So they did say that they do expect to cut rates this year. And the drop in rates is just basically the market kind of front running the Fed cuts. But the Feds did say that they don't see a reason to actually cut the rates yet, although they know that that will come. But when the inflation data came in a little bit high in February, that was not a good sign for the Fed. So even though inflation did come down quite a bit, I think it came in at 3.1. The Feds, if inflation is still up, they don't see a reason to actually cut rates. So we may be in the second half of the year before we start to see rate cuts.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you, what are you seeing in terms of the numbers when it comes to people applying for mortgages?
Well, when it comes to the activity is, it has increased since the beginning of the year. A lot of it is just because, yes, rates did drop, so people are looking to see what they can actually afford now based on the lower rates. Sometimes they are able to see, or some sellers are willing to, they're willing to negotiate a little bit when it comes to closing costs. We're seeing that a little bit. So there was a point where sellers weren't negotiating at all closing costs. They didn't want to give you another dollar. So I'm not going to say that sellers are paying all closing costs right now. So we're starting to see where some sellers are saying, okay, you know, they'll work with the buyer. And I think that for other buyers, they say, hey, listen, they've been holding out on the market for over a year. They just want to jump into the market. So that's where you see the other part of the buyers coming from.
Okay. So so let's talk about affordability, and when the rates change, what does that mean in terms of, let's say, I know it's a low figure. Well, let me go up. Because I was going to use $100,000, which is easy to navigate. But let's just be realistic. Let's go with, let's say, $300,000. And you have, let's say, you were talking about 8% mortgage rate versus, let's say, 5.75, or let's just say 6, just to deal with even numbers. What are you normally looking at in terms of a difference in terms of dollar amounts? Can you give us some sort of way to calculate that?
Well, the most accurate way is to use a mortgage calculator or loan calculator. And you're able to just download a loan or mortgage calculator on your smartphone. That'd be the best way. I know a lot of times people say, okay, it's a certain dollar amount for each $100,000. Which is a rough estimate, but you know, that could also change based on the interest rate. But I hate to give somebody that number and literally next month that may not be an accurate way to calculate your payment because the rates could change. So the best way I would say is just, of course, to use a mortgage calculator. So let's just say that we're talking about $300,000 at 8%. Without taxes or insurance, this is just your mortgage payment alone, you'll be looking at $2,200 without taxes and insurance. At a 7%, that will lower that payment to $2,000. And at a 6%, that would lower the payment to basically $1,800. And so we're talking about a $400 difference between a 6% and 8%.
Okay, because I think people are like, you know, the other mortgage calculators are out there and stuff. And I think people, you know, they just kind of say, okay, the percentage, and they just kind of go with it without kind of really equating it to dollar amounts. And so that's why I wanted to ask about that, because I think it helps to get a little bit more perspective, because when you're talking about, okay, let's say $100, if you're talking about $100, that equates to, You know, how many times, what do I spend at the grocery store? How much gas I put in the tank? All that kind of stuff. You know, so when it costs me this much for the house, it costs me, I have this much less for gas, or I have this much less for grocery, or whatever the case may be. So I wanted to kind of get that more into a dollar and cents perspective, you know, as well as having people understand the percentages themselves. So,
right. Well, yeah. I think that's a very good point, because that's one thing that I do emphasize when it comes to when we're looking at the best time to lock in a rate for a client. I really focus on the dollar amount as opposed to the interest rate, because a lot of times people get so tied up in the interest rate and they have no idea how that actually converts to a dollar. So you have somebody that, you know, we could probably lock them in at a 6%, but they really, really want that 5.99 because they just would say 5-something. And the thing is that the market changes daily. And sometimes there's a big swing. Sometimes there's hardly a difference that you wouldn't notice a difference from day to day. Maybe if you're getting $100 credit for your rate on one day, it's a $98 credit instead, so not a big difference. But sometimes you are gambling, and sometimes people may not notice, okay, the difference between the 5.99 and the 6% is $4. But they really, really want that 5.99. And I can't, you know, I can't lock it in if they say don't lock it in. But they also have to understand that they are playing a game that if certain data comes out, whether it's the labor data or inflation data, that it could actually cause the rate to actually swing higher. And now instead of 6%, now we're talking about 6.375, and now you're going with a higher payment because you were literally rolling the dice on trying to save $4 a month. And I'm not saying that savings aren't savings, but sometimes whenever you're looking at, you know, a $2,500 payment, or sometimes $3,000, even $3,500 payment, sometimes a difference in $10 is not really worth gambling.
Understood. So when we're looking at different, let's say, products per se, FHA, VA, and conventional, or I don't know if there's anything else we should be looking at right now, but which of these products right now seem to be experiencing the I guess, biggest change or impact these days?
You said it. I'm not sure if I understood the question. You said that which product has the biggest impact?
Yeah, I mean, that may be experiencing, you know, some differences or the biggest impact these days. I saw something recently where they were talking about, you know, I'm trying to remember what the article said, but I guess it had to do with, I guess, how much is that you can get insured for in terms of, let's say, FHA mortgage or whatever. I wanted to kind of address that a little bit, especially with like down payment assistance and those types of things. Have you seen any changes in any loan products out there, or any assistance, first-time buyer or down payment assistance products out there?
Yeah, so the first-time home buyer products such as the county down payment assistance that is still available out there. The only challenge that you're probably going to really run into is certain counties may not have the availability. And the other thing is the turn time that the county has in order to approve your DPA, your down payment assistance. So certain counties are able to get it done pretty quickly within 30 days, but that's one thing that I never really hang my hat on whenever it comes to the county. Typically, you're going to need a 45-day contract at minimum, possibly even 60 days. It's just depending on the county, because they just have their systems, and sometimes they don't review, you know, files or finalize files till certain times of the month, or they don't cut checks for closings to a certain time of the month. So that's the only thing that kind of slows things down when you're dealing with down payment assistance. So if there are any buyers out there that are looking to deal with the county, that's one thing you have to be patient with them. It's just that they have the way that the system works, and it's just the way it works. It's really hard to really push it any faster. Now, there are internal programs such as we have. Oh, go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
Yeah, now we do have internal programs that don't require a third party, such as the county, where we will give you 3.5% towards your down payment. The county, of course, depending on what county you're looking in, I mean, some counties are $10,000 per DPA. Other counties, they'll give you $50,000 or $60,000 towards the purchase of a home. So we're not giving anything close to that amount, but we will at least get you to 3.5%. That way you only have to come to the table with your closing costs, and if the seller pays your closing costs, then you could really get into a home with no money out of pocket. So that is a possibility. As far as FHA or conventional, there's not any real big differences this year when it comes to the way the programs actually underwrite files. Just some small things that are just coming to mind right now, and only because I have a client in a situation, similar situation that I think is very important for anybody to hear that could help you to qualify, is say that you are having a hard time qualifying for a mortgage based on your debt-income ratio, but you currently live with a roommate, and your name is on the lease, but happens all the time, you move into a home, and then later on you're looking for a roommate to help, you know, of course, with the expenses. If you are not going to renew your lease and that roommate says, hey, you know what, I'm willing to move to the home that you're purchasing, even though that's income you do not actually count on your taxes, if you're able to provide proof that that roommate has actually given you a check for the last 12 months, whether it's a Zelle, a physical check, a wire, if we have proof of 12 months, actually we could do it with 9, but it's just better if you had 12 months of proof that they've actually been paying you for, you know, has a roommate, and we can actually include that as income. So that can actually help you qualify for a loan. So that's not a new thing that has changed with conventional, but I thought that, as you just mentioned, is very important because there are a lot of people who are having a little bit of difficulty with qualifying right now, even though they have additional income coming in that we, you know, normally we can't count, but that is a way that we can count income that isn't your W-2 or income that's on your tax returns.
I do have one other question, and we're going to take a quick break. Timelines. So we were talking about those programs out of what you all do, down payment assistance programs, first-time home buyer assistance programs, and also because in the timeline that it takes to get that processed from, I guess, contract close. What I wanted to emphasize, number one, is if you plan on using one of those programs, to do it before, I guess, getting a pre-approval, I would say, if possible, get it, you know, before you get your pre-approval, because there's a lot of information in those programs, classes. But also, just because you need to have the program in place, because one of the questions I wanted to ask you is that when you all do pre-approval letters, those are only usually valid at whatever rate you lock it into for about the same amount of time, right? About 45 to 60 days, maybe a little longer?
Yes. So the pre-approval is based on when we actually pre-approve somebody, we're not actually locking in that rate because
okay.
We don't have a home that you're actually – now, there is a shop and lock that we can offer, just that if you believe that rates are going to be increasing, for example, we can do something called a shop and lock where we lock a rate in for you, and it protects you against the high, you know, rates going higher. That's on a case-by-case basis. I'm not sure that's necessarily the best thing now, but – and the reason I say it may not be the best thing now is because
it's fluctuating.
Being able to lock a loan and say, hey, I'm going to go shopping for a house while my loan is secured for, you know, of course, that's for a certain period of time, you actually pay a premium for that. It's a, you know, just like anything, just that's a luxury that that the lender is actually, you know, extending to you, you're going to pay a premium for that. So I'm not sure if that's necessarily always the best thing, you know, even though there are cases that is the best thing. But when we approve you, we're actually pre-approving based on the rates of that day. And I did see this happen a lot during 2023 and 2022, where we would pre-approve somebody in February. They looked, they see what they liked, And then 8 months later, they jump back on the radar looking for a home. And then we have to let them know that, well, the amount that you're able to qualify for is, you know, $30,000 less. So you have to keep in mind that if a lender locks your rate, they're actually reserving those funds for you. And they're not, it's not mm-hmm. reserved for an infinite amount of time. For example, there's nobody that I could confidently say that got a pre-approval, you know, in 2020 for, you know, 2.75, and they went ahead and executed that in 2024. It costs a lender to actually reserve those funds for you, so they're just not going to do it for that long.
Okay.
So, you know, go back to your question, you know, when we pre-approve you, the pre-approval letter is typically good for 90 days because, you know, the credits are typically good for around 120 days. So around 90 days, we want to update your credit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Rates typically, you know, don't move as fast as they did back in 2022 and 2023 where, you know, it was a 4% 1 month, and all of a sudden a month and a half later, it's 5.5%. So in most cases, you don't have to worry about that. And normally when we give you a pre-approval, there's a little bit of a cushion in there for rate fluctuation. So whenever you actually do find a home, we do actually lock in a rate for you. And that's where we discuss, you know, where the market is going, the market trends, and try to find the best rate possible for you at that time when you actually have identified a home.
Okay, so, my main thing was, and I appreciate you clarifying that, my main thing was to just make sure that everybody's, like, you know, kind of got everything in order before they step out the door to go find a realtor to help them find a house. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was just going to just say that, I totally agree that you want to have everything together. There's nothing wrong with reaching out to the broker and let them know what your intentions are. Especially if it's a broker that's
exactly.
familiar with work with down payment assistance, because sometimes buyers will go out there and they get all this information on down payment assistance and they just really, really get overwhelmed. And I've seen buyers just kind of take a step back because it was just basically information overload, where if I am able to talk to a client ahead of time, I could kind of narrow things down to, you know, these two options or maybe even three options, as opposed to you just searching on the World Wide Web and finding 15 options and you just are overwhelmed because it's your first time going through it. So for me, I deal with the county assistance all the time. I could even help you with finding out where to take the classes. And it's such fun if you come to me well ahead of time before you're ready to purchase. You don't feel so overwhelmed. We say, okay, you're looking to purchase a home in 90 days or 6 months, even a year out. I could tell you what you need to do in that period of time, which includes, as you mentioned earlier, taking the classes, understanding what the down payment assistance will actually need ahead of time, making sure you meet their qualifications ahead of time. So whenever you get ready to purchase, you know, it's a much smoother process.
Okay. I know you don't have a lot of time. One another thing I want to hit that I saw a headline on was that they were saying that the high interest rates, there may be, I guess, if you want to call it that, an upside to that, and that's the ability to, write off some of that interest. Is that correct?
Yes. So all is not lost when it comes to the interest rates, when it comes to the higher interest rates, because you are able to make up for some of that on the back end with the interest deduction. That's one thing for everybody to keep in mind, is that once you own a home, the interest that you pay on that home, you're able to write off on your taxes. So especially nowadays, as opposed to in the past where, you know, homes were lower and interest rates were lower, they may not have been a huge benefit when it came to the interest rate deduction, but it's not uncommon for people to have, you know, $20,000, $25,000, even $40,000 in interest that they're paying a year to their mortgage company. So that's actually deduction. Mm-hmm. So you actually save a lot of money in your tax liabilities yearly. So one thing to take advantage of, we are in tax season now for, I guess, about another month and a half or so. So if you haven't filed your taxes yet, then it's very important for you to make sure that you include those interest deductions on your taxes.
So and your mortgage company should be sending you a statement out. If they don't send you a statement out, sometimes they have it available where you can print it out from their website. If you don't get it in the mail or you don't see where you can print it out, you need to call your mortgage company to make sure they send you an official statement that you can take to your tax person, or if you're filing your own, that you have it among the documents that you need when you're filing your taxes. So just wanted to make that clear. How do we get in contact with you, Jabir?
Well, you can always contact me at Jabir, J-A-B as in boy, I-R, at Riajan, that's R-I-A-J-A-N as in Nancy, .com, or just contact me directly on my cell, 321-239-5814. Once again, that's 321-239-5814.
Thanks for taking the time again. I know you got to go, so go ahead, handle your business, and God willing, we'll talk with you next month. And happy Easter, because, yeah, it'll help Easter just before that. So happy Easter.
Yes, yes. Same to you. Thank you. And looking forward to next next month.
Thank you. Take care. So we're going to keep going. We're going to take a break in a few minutes. But like I said, I did want to remind everybody that, yeah, it's Super Tuesday. But it does not include us. Our voting day is on the 19th. It's important that you know that. Please make sure that all of your information is accurate and correct, and find out whether or not your voting place has changed, you know, because sometimes they have to relocate the precincts because of what is available, you know, so things do change. So don't go running down to the place where you voted in 2022. Thinking that it's going to be the same place. I mean, if it is, you're lucky, but I would check ahead of time. I would also check to see, you know, who you're voting for in what areas. Just because you see a sign in your area or a sign nearby doesn't mean that you're voting for that person. Just keep that in mind as well. So anyway, we are going to talk very soon with someone with the Consumer Product Safety Commission. So if you have any questions about any recalls or any products that you've come across an issue with, you know, Ms. Patty Davis, who is the spokesperson with the Consumer Product Safety Commission, will be on with us. So make sure you stay with us. The number 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
At Vintage Labs Collection, we are a multifaceted team of medical professionals dedicated to delivering the best quality products to patients. Our mission is to deliver the best supplement and patient outcomes in healthcare environments and consumer homes. Chat with our consulting pharmacists by visiting our website at www.vintagelabscollection.com. Supplements are not highly regulated, but Vintage Labs holds the standards higher than most.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. I'm sorry, I'm jumping the gun a few seconds. Thanks for being with us today, and we want to thank again Jabir Najeer of Rajon Mortgage for giving us a mortgage update and information. He'll be back next month, so if you have other questions. Oh, and next month, by the way, is Fair Housing Month. So if you have any questions, you know, considering purchasing that house, you know, he's always with us to answer some of them on the mortgage side. Now, this week is also Consumer Protection Week. We're going to talk a little bit about that with Patty Davis. She's a spokesperson with the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and I wanted to kind of bring her on to kind of give us a little bit more insight in terms of what the CPSC is about. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hi. Great to be here.
Thank you for taking the time. Really appreciate it. So we hear about recalls and you know, product defects and all types of stuff. And we kind of just hear in passing the Consumer Product Safety Commission has issued this particular recall or whatever. Can you give us a little more insight in terms of what the Consumer Product Safety Commission is about?
You bet. Well, we are an independent federal agency located in Bethesda, Maryland, right outside the nation's capital. And what our mission is to save lives and keep families safe by reducing the risk, the unreasonable risk of injuries and deaths associated with consumer products. And that's those are the ones that are under our jurisdiction. I mean, that really is more than 15,000 different types of consumer products. It is anything from bicycles to coffee makers to washing machines. You have it in your house, that's under our regulatory purview.
That sounds general, but it also sounds like just that's quite a lot to be responsible for. So I wanted to find out, first of all, what determines, for example, when we hear a recall, how does it get to the point that, you sometimes when you hear these reports on recalls, that there have been a certain amount of injuries and, unfortunately, in some cases, deaths. How does it get to you to find out that there's this particular product, that there's a problem with, and your agency determining that this needs to be out there for the public to know about?
Well, most recalls that we negotiate with companies, and most of them are negotiated on a voluntary basis with the companies who recall that product, they've involved no injuries and no deaths because we're able to step in and prevent that before that happens. I mean, of course, you do hear from us sometimes, and there have been deaths with products. Say the Peloton treadmill, there was a little boy who got sucked under that a few years back and then and killed, and we ended up recalling that product, and Peloton worked to address that issue. But back to your question. We work with companies. Companies have an obligation to let us know if there are deaths and injuries associated with their products, or if their product poses an unreasonable risk of an injury or a death. So they have to, under federal law, they have to report to us. Number two, what we do is we're also surveying the marketplace. So we have our investigators that are out there, not only at the ports. We're looking at products as they come in to make sure that they meet federal standards. Children's products have very tough standards that they have to meet. We'll pull them and test them occasionally, and if something does not meet the standards that it's supposed to meet, we're going to contact the company and seize that product and tell them what's going on here. We need to recall this product before it gets into consumers' hands, if it already has gotten into consumers' hands, a dangerous product that poses an unreasonable risk of death or injury, you know, then we really work hard to get that recall information out there and work with the company on that. And, you know, most importantly, we want to hear from people in the United States. What are you seeing that is a safety concern with a product that you currently have in your house? it may not be recalled yet, but let us know about it, and it could end up being recalled. It could save somebody else's life by letting us know about it.
I'm curious about how do some products maybe slip through the cracks a little bit. For example, for years we've always talked about beware of products that have loose parts or small parts because they can become a choking hazard for kids. But then we ended up with this whole major thing with the water beads that, you know, they're really small and everything, but, you know, with moisture and stuff, they can expand in the esophagus and pose, you know, major problems. So how did that get, you know, into the, you know, infiltrate the marketplace so thoroughly and so quickly?
Well, water beads have been around for a while. They have been used, if you may have seen them at somebody's house, as decoration around their plants to keep their plants moist and watered. But what we've seen in recent years is companies starting to market those to children as a fun thing to play with. And then, you know, you will hear from parents. There have been a lot of parents out there that are saying, my child swallowed water beads because they are a kid, and kids mouth everything. They put everything in their mouth. And in some cases, there are dozens of water beads that have to be extracted from a child's stomach. And that's an ingestion hazard. It also could be a choking hazard. You've seen these water beads. They could be as tiny as the head of a pin, yet they grow into something bigger that could block your esophagus. It could really cause problems for you and have to be surgically removed. So this has been a recent thing that we're seeing this. There has been a death of a child, and potentially there may be another one that we're looking at. But the message there is we just want to make sure that consumers never buy these for children. We are working with retailers to stop selling them as toys for children, but still make them available for adults to use for the projects that they have. But yeah, our message there, do not give those to children in any way, shape, or form. And we're also working on rulemaking on water beads so that we can protect children better.
I just wonder, with something like that, is that maybe a necessary product, period? Because, you know, I mean, a child may not be able to get to it, or they may not be able to sell it to children. But an adult can have it as decoration in their plants, and a child can, you know, you're not looking just for a second, can accidentally grab one and say, oh, that looks interesting. You know, it's unfortunately, you can't safety proof everything, but, you know.
Go ahead. CPSC does not do pre-market approval for products. So companies can come up with anything that they want to sell. What companies do need to do is make sure that they are meeting the regulations that are in place, the mandatory standards for products under our jurisdiction. Kids' products, as I said, toys, other products are required to be tested by an accredited CPSC-accepted third-party laboratory and have certificates of compliance that they do comply with those standards. Say the small parts going through that. The toilet paper tube is one example of what small parts are not allowed to do for kids under three. So we have a lot of very tough standards in place, and we work aggressively to educate companies. As you may be aware, I would say 80 to 90% of toys are made in China. So we have been working very aggressively to educate Chinese manufacturers and manufacturers in other countries that if they're going to sell in the United States, they have to meet our standards because we need to protect our smallest consumers here in the U.S.
Now, I mean, we talk about these things because it's not a matter of wanting our public to live scared, but it's a matter of wanting the public to live informed and safe, right?
That's true. That's true. And you may not even realize that there are standards in place for certain products. You may not hear about it. I mean, our goal is we don't want you to have to be scared. We want you to be safe. And by putting all these rules into place for companies and standards that they have to meet to protect consumers at the get-go, then consumers don't have to worry about it later when they buy the products. That's our goal.
They buy the product and they don't necessarily read the manuals because we're bad.
Yeah, they don't.
At that.
They don't have to be worried because those products should be safe for them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, something that you mentioned and I did want to ask about, and I know you say you do work with a lot of these companies and stuff like that, but you don't get involved in the pre-market decisions. But by working with these companies, do you see where some of them are maybe changing how they do approach these products pre-market? Have you, like, for example, some companies that may have had, let's say, persistent or ongoing problems, once they work with you, are you seeing maybe less involvement with them because of your previous involvement with them?
Yes, that's true. If we see a persistent violator, we're definitely going to be targeting their product when it comes into the U.S. ports. And we work with Customs and Border Protection, and we're surveying products that come in at the ports. We're going to target shipments from a particular company if they've been a persistent violator, for sure. But we know that companies – on the whole, want to be good actors. They don't want to have their products recalled. They want to have a good reputation. So most companies do work with us to understand our regulations, to make sure that they're making safe products. And really, that's what we want. That's what they want. Occasionally, things do slip through, and we're the agency who is there to catch it. Now, considering how many millions of consumer products there are out there, and our agency is only about 500 people, it's a challenge, mm-hmm. That's for sure. But that's why we enlist the help of other federal agencies, so that we have a little bit of help at the ports when those products do come in to spot them.
Now, you do also have, obviously, a website, and people can go to your website, right, to look at recalls, and they can also sign up for mailing lists, right?
Yes, and we encourage that. You can go to our website, which is www.cpsc.gov. That's for Consumer Product Safety Commission, cpsc.gov, and you can sign up right there to receive our recall information directly to your email inbox. Another way that you can follow recalls and stay on top of them is to follow us on social media. We're at USCPSC, so we're on Instagram, Facebook, X, which is what Twitter used to be. We're on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of our recall information is on those social media sites as well. So if you follow us, you're also going to get those.
So I know you talk about working with companies, but let's say I bought, I'm just going to say blender, because that seems to be one of those products that seems to have some, you know, a lot of moving parts and a lot of difficulty in some cases. I have a blender. My friend or cousin or something may have bought the same blender because originally I recommended it. I was in love with it, and then it just – things started to happen. you know, I got cut or whatever the case may be. And then that particular friend or family member also experiences something like that. Is that something – do you recommend contacting the manufacturer first to see if there's something that they can do about it, or is that something that – we alert your, I mean, like you said, you got, you know, just 500 people on all these products, but is that something that we would alert your agency about as well?
we request that consumers do let us know about it. You can let the company know about it, but really crucial to let us know about it as well, because this could potentially lead to a recall. You say, you know, you may have been cut by your blender, or it may have broken into pieces, and that's a safety hazard, exposing that blade. You can report that to us very easily at our reporting website, which is saferproducts.gov. If you go to that website, then you just report an incident with a product and let us know about it. It's helpful if you can give us the model number, the serial number, those types of things, because then we can actually really track it down. We will also contact the company and let them know, hey, we're seeing issues with your product. And if we do see that, we determine there's a need for a recall, we're going to work with that company to get a recall into place. Consumers really are a crucial link in letting CPSC know about dangerous products that are hurting them, that have safety concerns with them, that have killed people. This is an important thing to let us know about. You are our eyes and ears out there, because we can't possibly know everything. We can't possibly cover every single product or look at every single product that comes into the U.S. If you have a problem with the product, really let us know. And that's www.saferproducts.gov. We also have a hotline, a telephone hotline, if you're not super web savvy, and that is 800-638-CPSC. So it's 800-638-CPSC, and we would love to hear from consumers. Really important.
So we're talking about consumer protection and safety. We are on with Ms. Patty Davis, who is with the Consumer Product Safety Commission. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944, G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. And we are here with Ms. Patty Davis of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. And if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. Ms. Davis, I was curious about repeat offenders. I know you say, you know, you guys keep an eye open for certain companies that have had repeated problems. Do you find that some of these companies are just, okay, we'll fix that one, we'll take it off the shelf, and we'll just put another similar product in the place, and they maybe have only changed one thing, or they really aren't taking you seriously? And are there fines and penalties?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes, we do see repeat offenders, and we have a very good weapon. We have civil penalty fines. We have the Justice Department that can help us with criminal penalties, and we will not hesitate to use it, that authority, if we have to. It could be a multi-million dollar fine on a company for repeat violations, and that is for willful violations, that they know what they're doing and they're taking part in a prohibited act.
That's really kind of sad when people are putting profits over the well-being of the consumer. So I want to ask you, how can consumers be more aware and more proactive in terms of making sure that the products that they're spending their hard-earned dollars on are worthwhile products that are worth the money that are going to keep them and their loved ones safe?
When you buy a product, make sure that it's certified by a testing lab. So that could be Underwriter Laboratory. It'll say use that little UL mark that's on there for a lot of electronic products, or a CSA marking. And also check and see if before you buy that product, has it been recalled? New products on store shelves, they're not allowed to be there if they have been recalled. But if you're shopping in the secondhand market, you know, which a lot of people do on those various marketplaces, really
right.
Before you send somebody your hard-earned money, check on our website, cpsc.gov, to see if that has been recalled. And in fact, I'd love to tell you about some of the recent recalls that we have done.
Okay.
If you'd
Good.
Like to hear about them.
Sure.
Okay, so you were mentioning blenders, and in fact, we recalled in January almost 5 million BlendJet 2 portable blenders because of fire and laceration hazards, and that's in the millions. So if you see that, you definitely want to act. That is a big hurdle for us. We can get that information out to consumers and let them know about it. If you're following us by email or you see it, you're following us on social media, we put that information out there. You may read it. You may get contacted by the firm. Really, the big hurdle is consumers acting on that information and really taking recalls seriously. The recall response rate is relatively low. I think that consumers are overwhelmed with all of the notifications that are going on in the world today, all the news,
mm-hmm.
all the everything else. And you may hear, oh, my car was recalled. That's a different agency. But, you know, it's important to act on that. But when you hear say that your blender has been recalled, really pay attention and take advantage of whatever remedy that is being offered. What you're going to get is either a refund, a repair, or a replacement. You do not need to have your receipt for that product. They can figure it out, but you may need to send them a picture of it. You may need to send them a picture of your product, whatever. But just by paying attention and actually responding when a recall takes place, you're helping to avoid injuries in your own home. And if you put that into the secondhand market, at some point you're helping to prevent injuries from that next family who might own that product. Another big recall that we recently had, where we recalled about four different biometric safes, about 120,000 of those. Three of those are for guns. And one of those is a personal safe that could potentially be used for guns or other things. But the issue here was that the biometric lock on the gun safes could be opened by unauthorized users. And that's obviously if a child gets a hold of that and there's a gun in there,
mm-hmm.
that could result in a very serious injury or a death. And in fact, in one of these cases, there was a six-year-old who got a hold of the firearm who got into the safe. Luckily, everything was okay, but we just want to make consumers aware that if you have a biometric safe, especially for a gun, check our website, see if it's been recalled.
Right, right. And I was looking at, like I said, I did sign up for some of the safety recalls. There's a Camplux brand portable tankless water heater because of a fire hazard that's been
mm-hmm.
recalled. A children's pajamas due to burn hazard and violation of federal flammable standards by a Liverpool football club. And there's some more. So, I mean, the information is out there and easily retrievable. You know, and I know especially if you have children, you want to make sure that you're up on everything. to make sure that they're safe, because there's so many other things that you have to protect them from. There's another one, Nutraceutical here to store hydrogen peroxide mouthwash to risk of poisoning, violation of child-resistant packaging requirements. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of them. You know, you just do a weekly or a check, you know, just to see, okay, what's out there, you know, before I go shopping because I need to get X, Y, and Z. What in this particular category do I need to know about? And, you know, like I said, the information is out there basically just to keep you informed and safe when, you know, when you're going out and buying this stuff. So.
Right, and we know how hard it is. There are all these competing priorities that people have. Just having kids is enough of a priority alone, and you've got so many duties during the day. But just adding that layer of safety on top by checking for the recalls, as you said, to make it even easier on yourself, just go to our website and sign up to receive those recalls. We will send them to you all in one big email. We put out our recalls on Thursdays. You're going to get one big email that's got all those recalls in it, and you can just look at it. Oh, do I have any of these? Do I have that Camplux brand portable tankless water heater that's a fire hazard? And by the way, I want to go back on the gun safes. I mentioned that the boy got a hold of a gun. That's not true. The boy just got, a six-year-old just got access to the safe, you know, not a hold of a gun.
Not the gun. Okay, yeah. But, I mean, that was just the next possible step, so fortunately that did not happen. And then we've mentioned children a lot, but yeah, adults too. The tankless water heaters, they get pitched on us all the time because they say they're supposed to be efficient and they're supposed to save space and all that type of stuff, but you know, you don't want your house burning down because you got, you know, the wrong one or a defective one. So
just want to
make sure that, you know, and also too, you know, you want to get the right one because some of them have, you know, rebates by the utility companies and whatnot too. But even with that rebate, you still want to make sure that it's the right one, the appropriate product for your home. So I'm glad you took the time out. Thank you so, so very much. So we did post the cpsc.gov link and the saferproducts.gov link, and that's the one that she was saying is if you as a consumer want to report versus a person, a company that has a product, you can go to saferproducts.gov. Any last minute recommendations that you have for us?
I would just encourage consumers to do just what you said. We want to hear from you. If you've had an issue with a consumer product that's safety related, an injury, et cetera, let us know. When you report to us, we look at each and every one of those, and that literally can save another consumer's life or your own life by letting us know about it.
And the one thing I want to say, and I'm guilty too, but don't get so excited about getting that product that you've been wanting or needing or a new product that you don't go in and register the product. They don't always send the postcard in the product anymore. I remember when they used to do that all the time, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I got to fill this out. If you get the postcard, fill it out. If you don't, go online and see if they have a way to go on that particular company's website and register that product. So that keeps you with some sort of record of your purchase as well in the event that you have a problem. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's a great safety tip. Thanks for that. I wholeheartedly agree.
Well, thank you. Really appreciate it. I've been wanting to have you all on for so long, so thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
You're welcome.
I might call back on you on Christmas because that's usually around the time that everybody gets really all over the place with this. But.
True.
But thanks
true.
So much.
All right. Thank you.
Take
great
care.
Great to have talked to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We want to thank Patty Davis from the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and we want to thank you for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Be well, be safe, be blessed. Hug a loved one, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.